This is GamesAtWork.biz, your weekly podcast about gaming, technology, and play. Your hosts are Michael Martin, Andy Piper, and Michael Rowe. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and are not the opinions of any organization which they have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 347, Thanks Scrolling. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on Friday, Black Friday, when everything goes black and we use dark mode for everything. No, not really. I'm happy to be here with my good friends and co-hosts, Michael Martin and Andy Piper, for a thankful episode of GamesAtWork.biz. And let's throw it over to you, Michael. How are you?
Fantastic. It's nice to have a day off and to really take advantage of the time. Andy, you did not have a day off today, did you?
Why would I have the day off? I'm not giving thanks for anything. Well, I'm giving thanks for not getting lots of emails. Well, no, wait, I'm not getting lots of work emails. I got lots of other emails, mostly encouraging me to spend money on things on the internet. No, I didn't have the day off. I did go to London town today because the Raspberry Pi folks, they have a single store in the world, which is in their hometown of Cambridge. And they did a pop-up store in the center of London for sort of a Christmas pop-up. I think it was just for 2 days. So I went over there today since I could do that and checked it out and saw what they were doing. And they were very nice people. And there was some nice gadgetry on display.
Did you get any new gadgetry for your little Pi project? Your
the carded
cluster, that's it?
I have now got sufficient Pi Zero 2Ws to replace my Pi Zeros on my cluster with Pi Zero 2Ws. So that might be something that I work on either this weekend or soon. Actually, this weekend I have a very early presentation to deliver because I'm delivering to some folks far to the east of where I'm located over the weekend at a conference. So I shall have an early start tomorrow. So if I have enough brain power, I might start playing around with Pis. The one thing I did get, which is relevant and exciting, is I got the I picked up the Build Hat, which is the one that lets you connect directly to Lego. The reason I've been holding off getting one is that it was very difficult for the last couple of months to get the power supply just for that hat. So I managed to get that because there was one on the shelf. So anyway, yes, that was my day, but I did do a lot of work as well and get things done. And I haven't played any games as yet, but let's talk about what we could be.
We need to solve that.
Building, yeah. Playing, or working on.
Well, we're about to change all that here with this episode, because by the time we're done, there's like two or three or maybe even more games to play. Let's start off with a topic that's near and dear to my personal heart, and that is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This happens every year in New York City.
What is it?
And
what's the purpose of this? What is this thing? Who's Macy? It's Macy. Why is she? Why are we talking about her?
It's like Harrods, except it's in New York. So Macy's has been doing this for a little while, and a family tradition, at least in the Martin household or plural households, is that we tune in and watch this. I watched this when I was overseas over the internets, although for me I had to do a VPN to kind of hook up and make sure I could run that properly and see it. And I always enjoy the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I especially enjoy the marching bands. I could talk about that for a long time. And for this particular episode of GamesAtWork.biz, we're going to talk a smidge about the Thanksgiving Day Parade balloons that Macy's actually has up for auction, and you can go and bid on them. In fact, that auction is still going to be going on. If you were to listen to this podcast when it first comes out, you'll have at least a day, or maybe even two, to put your bids in for some of these lovely NFT balloons. So,
and if you do put your bid in, we would gladly take 1% or 10% of your bid, your minimum bid, as a donation to help fund GamesAtWork.biz, because these prices are nuts. $74,000 current bid on some of these.
$310,000
I'm just about to bid on the Thanksgiving Parade Dachshund balloon art, which is currently standing at $42,000. I might pop that up to 47, let's say. Why not? What am I going to do here? Oh, I've got to create a sweet account because I'm new to NFTs, with a US mobile number. Oh, this seems very unfair. And then I have to tell them that I'm not a robot. Oh no, I can put in my email address. Okay, or I could sign in with my Apple account. I've lost interest. I can't be bothered with.
Could you sign in with Apple and give them a fake email address?
I'm just not interested in clicking through all of these boxes. I'm not going to bid after all.
Oh, that's too bad.
You could enter the Macy's Star
for $10,000, though. That could be fun.
Yeah. This is crazy price.
Yep. But not uncommon with our.
It's all in a good cause.
Well, it's
make a wish. For a good cause. I just can't afford it.
Okay. I could wish for enough Bitcoin to bid for an NFT of a balloon. Which would be a lot of fun. Another thing that's been entertaining our family this morning has been the guys and gals, the people over at Cards Against Humanity, who always do something a little funny and a little silly this time of year. And this time around for Black Friday, what they decided was they have some things that they want from their user population, and they're going to give money for you. So instead of saying, hey, buy some Cards Against Humanity products, they will buy things that you do. Like one of them is you'll get $5 from them if you, when you see your postman come to the door, greet them with a hot dog and put it on a video and send it to them, and they will send you $5. Or you can guess how many jelly beans are going to fit inside of the Cadillac Alante, the 1993 edition. Way too funny. We've certainly enjoyed this.
I like the top one on the list.
So much, and that's all I'm saying. Better ones further down. For example, giving a hot dog to your mail carrier on video, you earn you $5. Putting your cards in
sour cream only burrito.
click.com. No more slots. Yeah, you have to be paying attention. So by the time you listen to this, all your chances to participate are off and over. But you might find that there is an opportunity if you're watching our Twitter feed today. So there you have it.
Very cool.
So we're not the only ones playing games. It's not just Cards Against Humanity or the folks over at Macy's with their NFTs, but there are also some rats getting into the game playing business, and they're playing Doom. And they're not playing on anything funny. They're playing on what looks like a real live PC and a computer. Just their interface is a little different.
Yeah. I thought they were actually running through a real maze.
Oh, wait a minute. It's a VR setup. Holy moly.
It's VR. Yeah, they're attached to they're suspended to a polystyrene ball, attached to a polystyrene ball, so that that they can run around on the polystyrene ball and navigate around the corridor in VR. It's amazing.
and run the Doom maze and even shoot things. This is so great.
My goodness, they probably have an advanced behavior when it comes to maze running, because the article talks about pitting a pig versus a rat and who might win. I might bet on the rat, given the maze.
Unless there were a truffle trail.
Ooh, that's a good point.
But I mean, there's two things to note here. One of them is that the rats are named Carmack and Romero and Tom.
Yes.
Secondly, the next stage in the plan is to actually attach chain guns to the rats and put them out on the street. to mow down Black Friday shoppers. That's the end game.
I'm enjoying the fact that it looks like the person, the gentleman who's put this all together, looks like he has a very nice Hungarian name too.
So there's
your Hungarian tie-in twice in a show.
How about Hungarians are taking over.
I love it. Well, so it's not just Hungarians we're talking about this time around. It's the Swedes. Yes. Andy, you found a Kickstarter.
This is so cool.
It's very entertaining.
The cooperative card game about assembling flat pack furniture with your partner, and definitely not about your collapsing relationship. This is a game.
Maybe this is not a good game to play if you want to keep a good relationship.
But I'm actually somewhat surprised that IKEA haven't come along and had a word, because you know they have. There is a difference, a small difference in the illustration.
It's a comma.
Of the two individuals. But in fact, there's a woman, and normally they're just agender, aren't they? But anyway, yeah. They look very similar. They look recognizably similar, in my opinion, to an IKEA instruction piece of paper. It looks kind of fun. I have.
But not only that, you get the zine offering, which for IKEA zine. Instead of the IKEA zine.
Yeah. So there's some fun stuff there. Depending on when you listen to this, you may just be in time to back the project if you're interested, because it's got 5 days from now to go left on the counter, and they've already beaten the requirement.
For all their stretch goals.
So. I know at least one of my friends has backed it. I'd seen it previously, and then I got the social notification telling me that one of my friends had backed it, and I thought again about whether I was going to, and so far I haven't, because I've got far too many other games to be playing, both physical and video. I like the humor involved here.
I really like the handcrafted wooden set. That is cool looking.
Yeah, but there's only a few things that are available still right now. From what I can tell.
The pledges.
Oh, yeah, in the pledges. Very, very funny. I love the rules. Oh, I love it. All right, yeah, so get in on this Kickstarter if you have the chance to. And if you don't, you can play some Minecraft. And this is something that I saw, I don't remember, after our show recording of last week. I didn't realize the limitations of the building heights and the depths to which you could go in Minecraft. But it is now higher.
The depths you can go.
And deeper. So... that's pretty darn good. You want to get more complicated, you now have more room in the Minecraft universe to go up and see the sky and go down into the caves. So, good news on that.
Yeah, having just played a little with Minecraft and not actually done any major building in it, I'm sure this is great.
But
I just look at some of those builds and see how it's not already this size, because it doesn't seem, I mean, it looks like they've tripled the height from the one graphic that they're showing, but I mean, I've seen builds and videos of builds that seem very, very large, and I'm wondering how they made them that large if the restriction was as low as this is showing right now.
I think my experience of them has been that they can be large by area and flat space. I mean, not obviously not without depth, but you know, XZ space. It's Y, which is what this is describing here. I mean, I had no idea that there were those limits. I hadn't dived into it enough.
Because it looks like they've gone from a maximum of 256 height.
Yeah.
From 0 to 256 to -384.
Yeah, that's
because minus 64 plus 320.
Yeah.
So it's not really a 3x change. That's only a graphical view that's showing that. But it's it's not a significant increase, but it's what, about 50%? Not quite 50% increase.
But also, again, if you look at what they're talking about here, you there is a maximum building, non-natural building height, right? So that's the height that some of those buildings.
So you can lay out the landscape
And go deeper right now, because you can go underground. But if you are building something on top of something naturally generated, you have a limit, as far as I understand this describing, and that limit is also being increased significantly.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm liking it. So moving along, see, Andy, you the games here, you look at all these options you have. You got Minecraft, you got the game here, the Coop game that you can't play until September of next year, unfortunately. But you could play Fortnite, and you could play that today. And part of what you sent our way is a little interesting news about Harmonix.
Well, you being our listeners who shared this with us, And Harmonix being the company behind games like Rock Band, I think actually possibly only Rock Band. I'd have to go and look at Harmonix's back catalogue. So they've been acquired by Epic, who obviously produce Fortnite and also Lawsuits. Ian actually tweeted about this, and I jokingly replied and said... jokingly replied and said, well, this feels to me like, innovative games like Rock Band will only be playable inside of a game like Fortnite, which is disappointing to me. Now, that's a tongue-in-cheek statement. But I do find it interesting. I also mentioned that I genuinely miss the sort of karaoke-style games where you actually had a physical microphone that went with the Xbox 360 era of games, of consoles. I haven't seen quite so many of those kind of things with the current generation. I know that they still exist, that you can certainly get singing or music instrument games, but they haven't appealed to me or connected with me personally, and I know that I'm not necessarily the target audience in the same way. So I'm really curious. It's interesting to see Fortnite populating its virtual world / metaverse with more content, more media types, sort of really growing the types of content that's in there beyond it just being the Battle Royale game, which I'm terrible at on my one or two brief forays into it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this develops.
Yeah, I really enjoyed actually speaking of microphone based games, the Beatles Rock Band, right? Because you had the microphone, you had the drum kit, and the guitar. So that was I enjoyed that. But you're right, that was 2008, 2009. That's more than a decade ago.
Yeah. I found my old guitar from Rock Band just recently, and it's in one corner of the attic, unfortunately. And I remembered fondly, all the games that are played like this. And this article, having read it about Rock Band 4, I kind of wonder, what's the where were they? Where is Harmonix on that particular journey? And when would that be coming out?
So you slap a Raspberry Pi Pico and a couple of extra buttons on that baby, and you've got a full-on MIDI instrument controller for your desktop, and you can do all kinds of cool stuff.
Ooh!
Don't want to throw this stuff away, Michael.
No.
Maybe you do. I mean, I need a lot more space than I have. So
no. I did get rid of the drum kit.
Oh, see, think of how much annoying behavior you could be doing right now. Your family around for Thanksgiving, and you could be drumming the heck out of that place.
So music plays a role in so many places. In fact, it's going to crop up at least another couple times in this particular episode of the podcast. But next on the list from the gamer is a link around Pokemon, also in the music space, which I thought was like, that's a little interesting now, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think this was something that I mentioned and something I had experienced earlier in the week. Pokemon Go announced a crossover event with Ed Sheeran, the British musician, and people got interested because they hadn't done any event like that previously, and obviously the comparisons are to things like music concerts played in Fortnite, or even going all the way back to music concerts played in Second Life and other environments. But I have to say, I was hugely underwhelmed.
Yeah, I remember, gosh, there was a David Bowie virtual world integration game in the 90s. And I can't remember if they were using Active World for that one, but David Bowie actually did a music tie-in with gaming and virtual world technology back in the 90s.
Well, Bowie was always
been around for a while.
Bowie was always extremely forward-thinking in terms of how he used technology and embraced it and talked about the internet. So that doesn't surprise me that that was a thing. The thing that disappointed me with this particular event crossover was, and a lot of these things clearly are for cross-media marketing, which doesn't surprise me at all. But this was, I think, potentially hyped up by the gaming press as this sort of immersive type environment. I don't think that the Pokemon news releases particularly talked about it as an immersive experience. It certainly was not immersive. It was, as this story says, effectively, you had to go into the news feed, which is a separate button from actually playing the game, which is a more of a 3D or AR experience. And then what happened was, if that worked, because it didn't, I got the notification saying, this thing is now available to you. So I went in, tapped on the notification to go in, and nothing changed. Nothing happened, and there was nothing in the news feed. A couple of hours later, I went in, and it was in the news feed, and then tapped through, and you go to a web page, which has an embedded YouTube video, in which Ed Sheeran talks a little bit about Pokemon, and then plays some music in a video, or in a studio, but on a video.
I'm sure that link hasn't shown up elsewhere yet.
I haven't. Yeah, I mean, I did think of that as well. You got a little code to a free hoodie for your in-game player character, but yeah, this was not an immersive experience in any way. It was really disappointing to me. Not because I really, really, really love either the game or the performer, but just to see how half-heartedly it was delivered and how cynically it was delivered. I think all of it is cynical in the sense that it is a marketing experience exercise, but it just didn't interest me. It interested me just from the fact that it happened, but that was it. It was very disappointing.
So what you're saying is it was 100% buzzword compatible.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I don't know whose fault the buzz was. Really, that's, I guess, what I'm also trying to convey.
You know, it's interesting to me because I've seen my kids kind of get back into Pokemon Go as of late, and I've wondered a little bit about the why for this. And I'm sure this was not the reason, but Nintendo's done some interesting things over its lifespan, even on the Game Boy and others, where if you had your Game Boy with your Pokemon game in it and you were playing at certain locations in Tokyo or New York or others, you could get a character, you could get a Pokemon that might not otherwise have been available. And there have been certain
events. Had that on Street Pass on the 3DS as well. I mean, I still wish that they hadn't taken that out from the Switch experience. I mean, the interesting thing with Nintendo is that they seem to really build a 100% brand new experience with every single piece of hardware. It's a shame that some of those things don't always carry across. Talking of generations of hardware, though, one thing that's been happening this year has been the 20th anniversary of Xbox. And this week is part of that. Xbox marketing launch, the Museum of Xbox, museum.xbox.com, which I think was really, really well produced, put together. It's a virtual experience that you can encounter through a web browser. I played with it on my iPad. I've played with it on the desktop as well. You can see, you know, virtual, three-dimensional virtual instances of each of the consoles. If you click into them, you go into an explorable 3D, three-dimensional museum environment with billboards that you can either click on or just view, talking through, you know, the history of the consoles and key moments. As well as that, it also has one gallery dedicated to Halo. And finally, and also a very cool thing that they've done is that if you log in to your account, you have a personal museum that talks through your history with the console. So it will show you which one of them was the first one you used when you first logged into each platform, your favorite games, your gamer score, all that kind of stuff. And that's just really nice way of taking that data, personalizing it for you, connecting it with the whole experience. I was impressed.
Yeah, having a personal one was really cool, Andy. Then the fact that you've been around Xbox for quite a long while is neat because it was custom tailored to you and your experience on the platform, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I also thought the other thing that was interesting was that it wasn't just a fame fest. It wasn't just a self-congratulatory thing. Obviously, it's interesting that given where Xbox started, it has lasted 20 years and been a huge success. But given that Microsoft weren't part of, you know, the Nintendo Sega competition at the time when Xbox launched, but they've accepted, and I wouldn't say necessarily celebrated, but they have mentioned some of their failures: the Red Ring of Death on the Xbox 360, the fact that, you know, the always-on concept for the Xbox One wasn't very popular at first. Kinect comes and goes through the history of the museum. More recently, and not related to the museum, they've also, in the new Halo games, they produced a very under-produced trailer last year for Halo Infinite with one of the brutes looking particularly bad that became an internet meme. And what they've actually done in the final version of Halo Infinite is that they've taken that poor brute that was badly produced because he gained an online name of Craig, and they have a museum of Craig in Halo Infinite with this badly drawn character. So I take my hat off to the team over there for accepting the things that haven't gone well. And, you know, acknowledging them.
Yeah, I went in and tried to create my little museum, but I don't have an Xbox. I use Xbox games on the PC and I have an account. And I didn't have enough history to create my little personal museum.
Aww.
Which, not a surprise, but was funny.
Yep, and I was in the same way. I was in the same way, Michael. I tried to do sort of the same thing. And the funny thing for me is that when I went in to go and do the experience, I'm like one of, you know, dozens of avatars with like a B.
I was a Y.
Yeah.
Oh, the X's were,
I can see.
The letters were the X, Y, A, B from the controller. That's what.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know whether they weren't related to whether or not you were, you know, highlighted yourself. You could actually, I think, choose your color and letter as you walked around.
Cool.
That's so really cool.
They're not saying that you're. They're not saying that you're B class, Michael. Don't worry. It's fine.
I was hoping that that's
why?
Not the case.
Why?
Why? Because we love you. I love it.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. So,
You found something that you sent to us this week, Michael, that was really, really cool looking.
So on the MIT Technology Review email, we get some interesting things from time to time. And there is a website called Abacus, Abacus. Hadn't seen this one before. And there was a really intriguing notion of mocap visualization of Kung Fu done by, this guy doesn't look like he is Hungarian, looks more German to me, Tobias Gremlo, which was inspired by a number of Kung Fu masters. And it was super interesting to see the different visualizations about how someone moves through space in this mocap kind of environment. And I thought it was just elemental. It was a great way to think about movement. And as we do more and more of this kind of digitization, I could see how this is how a computer would experience and then recreate it.
I am just looking at the waves of motion here and just imagining your judo moves destroying me. So yeah.
I actually like the sound effects. Those were pretty cool.
There's a cool sculpture in London Heathrow Terminal 2 of some aeronautics display, but it's essentially similar to this. It's showing the flight path of a propeller-based craft, and it's a fluid-style sculpture in metal or aluminium, I think, specifically. The visuals here remind me of that sculpture that I've seen quite a few times when back in the days when we used to be able to fly places.
Yes.
Yeah, I love this. And the different kinds of visualizations, there's some that are very concrete and earthy and centered. There's some that are very airy and windy. So it doesn't do justice to try to describe them. Just watch the short videos, skip along, listen to the soundtrack. Like Michael said, I think you'll enjoy it. All right, let's go six colors wise for just a bit. And for those people who are not named Andy on this particular podcast, there is an opportunity to display network quality in your menu bar, which is kind of a neat little extra capability here. Oh no, it's menu bar. It's not in the, I misunderstood. I thought it was going to be in the, now I've even forgotten the name of it.
The touch bar.
Thank you, Michael.
You probably could put it in your touch bar because what this actually is a Python utility that will provide you with a periodic run of the new network quality tool. Mm-hmm. What Jason Snell did over at Six Colors is using a tool called Swift Bar. He has it dynamically update his menu bar every 30 minutes with the quality of his network. And I just thought it was kind of a cool, neat little utility. I've looked at the new network quality tool on Monterey and been having a couple of network issues recently at the house and thought it'd be kind of cool to play with this. And I saw this article, went to go to it, and I haven't set up SwiftBar or XBar yet. That's a plan for this weekend and see how this utility works. But I bet you could put it using something what's the other tool that I use? Better Touch Tool. You could probably use Better Touch Tool mm-hmm. and have it run the script and throw it in your touch bar.
For sure.
Every 30 minutes.
And the thing that I've currently got running is Little Snitch, and that also has a network activity monitor that sits in your menu bar if you want it to. You can switch that off.
Yeah.
As well as showing your inbound, outbound, which is what Little Snitch is all about, making sure that apps aren't secretly connecting to things, services that you don't want them to. Which happens all the time anyway. You can also ask it to show you the data rates, which is fine. So I'm currently using that. It's quite interesting to see that Apple has built this in as a command line utility into Monterey, but you do need to be running Monterey. I ran it earlier on and got some useful output. It looks like it's kind of doing a speed test every 20 minutes or so, depending on how often you run it.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to use Little Snitch, and I don't know why I stopped. And I was just going back through my mail, and it looks like they're up at version 5.3, and the last one I was running was version 3-something. So I need to go back and look at Little Snitch again.
Well, it's probably because your pie hole eliminated the need for this, because
you don't get no part spam. Of it. That would only solve part of it. I mean, Little Snitch was great because it was as Andy said, it's a firewall basically that monitors everything and lets you know. And then you can decide, do I want to let this go in or outbound? Either way, it was a bidirectional firewall settings.
It's got some really nice visualizations in terms of like where in the world your apps and systems are connecting to. I'm looking at my map right now and seeing some connections that go to some places on the planet that are somewhat unusual to me.
I didn't know that Carmen Sandiego was a snitch.
Well, I will definitely have to give this a look too, because I, like you, Michael, have been experiencing as of late some network instability, and maybe this is something that will help me at least identify as those things happen what's really going on.
Yeah.
All right. So now, talking about network instability, and while we're not focused on the Beatles 4 or 5 part series that it dropped on Disney Plus this week, there was an article that came out also just recently here from iDrop News about how a number of sounds from within the Apple ecosystem and the operating system came out of the Beatles lawsuit between Apple and Apple Corps, which was the Beatles label, some time ago. And I read through this article and I thought, gosh, how funny is this on so many different levels around the way that those two companies had to, first of all, negotiate the notion of the use of the word Apple, distinguishing computers from music and music production. Two things as funny as the names of the Apple sounds that were in there, including one, what was it, was called Sosumi.
Yeah, I like that.
the guy was like, no, I'm sick of you attorneys, so I'm going to name one of these sounds. It's a sound, it's not music, called Sosumi.
That's great. Very cool.
So have a read of this. Check out the camera piece. Check out the other ones. It's just good, fun stuff in there. Okay, so now switching operating systems, at least for a moment, Windows 11, there's an update in preview now, will come soon. And apparently Clippy is coming back along with a whole bunch of other simplified and lighter and brighter emojis.
Yeah, I saw this. So I've been playing with Windows 11 for some time now. I was going to back it out, but the great back out is format your hard drive and reinstall Windows 10.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm kind of stuck with it for now. But the fact that they're bringing back Clippy as an emoji is pretty funny.
And, heartwarming.
I haven't done much exploration in their emojis yet to find them all, but I will have to play with that because I am on the developer track for Windows 11.
I came off the developer preview to the beta, but I am a Windows insider, so I do follow along their future updates versus the current update, as I do on the Xbox and in Halo and on, what else am I a Microsoft insider for? Lots of different things. Anyway, I find Clippy's comeback heartwarming and cute.
Yes.
And nostalgic. My friend Chloe, who works on developer advocacy at Microsoft, is a big Clippy advocate as well, and often makes things or is shown things or has swag which is Clippy related. So I'm sure she'll be very excited about this, but obviously will have known about it for a long time as well because she works there. I quite like Windows 10, Windows 11. I need to, I am currently in a situation where I've got far too many devices and far too many options, and I am cycling through Linux and Windows and Mac OS and getting confused. But I did like Windows. I do like
yeah,
Windows.
Well, Microsoft Flight Simulator was having lots of problems with Windows 11, where it would say there's a mandatory update, but it wouldn't let you do the update because it wouldn't show as a valid update. That took a couple of different tries to sort that out. And now if I'm flying for more than about 10 minutes, I just get a total reset of the machine.
Ooh.
On times, like just like you would if you were in a cockpit.
Yes. Reboot.
Sorry, you're over Greenland. Time to reboot.
So.
So I did not know about Ninja Cat. So, Chloe, if you're listening, I love the Ninja Cat, and I'm sorry to know that it's no longer going to be available because there's some cute Ninja Cats in the emoji set exclusive to Windows. I'd never seen this before. And apparently they're going away. I guess they were just a short time thing.
No Ninja Cat for you.
No Ninja Cat for me. I'm just so sad.
I am glad that they changed the style, though, because, I mean, I found the old-style Windows ones with the very thick, heavy black outlines just a little bit in your face and not actually very attractive as a result.
I actually like the fact that the emoji designs are different enough between operating systems. Because as you say, Andy, you know, I bounce between multiple different operating systems for different things that I'm testing around. And sometimes you get lost. I mean, not literally, but at least you could see the emoji. Oh yeah, that's obviously I'm not on iPad OS, as an example, or I'm not on Linux or whatever. So,
Yep.
I think we got one more story.
We've got two, unless I counted wrong. So there's one that I did not have a chance to really study in detail, but I know, Michael, you had a fun reaction to it. And this is the Smart Fairy Tale, which is a story machine about how this works when this story machine is ultra Rube Goldberg complex. My goodness.
Well, yeah, and Andy, I think you actually found this link, or one of your followers found the link, and I was playing the video attached with it where they actually go through the machine, right, and let the red ball flow through, and you see all the different little pieces that were developed as this community-based project to build out this artwork, right, this story artwork. And there's this one scene where you see this doll head turn and kind of look cock-swoggled at the camera, and the thing that popped in my head immediately was the song Creepy Doll from oh so many years ago.
The moment in the first Toy Story movie where Woody finds himself in the bad guy's bedroom, and then there's
also
that
creepy.
Yeah, there's that creepy eyeless doll. Oh, no, it has eyes, but hairless doll on spider legs that sort of turns to look at him. Yeah, yeah. I think this is really fun.
All
it's
creepy.
It's made up of lots and lots and lots of different toys. And it's just a fun thing.
And a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, it's just a fun thing. And I love the, you know, the community aspect of it. I love the animatronics. I love that it's a physical object, as much as the, you know, there's digital elements to it and the sort of driving it. It's one of those things that you really have to go watch the video, and if you're interested, you can go read about it and understand how it works under the covers, because some of it's done with servos, and then there's stuff with lights and all kinds of other things. And if you are in the installation, you can connect to it and drive things with your own device, which is also really, really cool.
Hey, I wonder if they would do kind of like Michael, your old way of playing Mario Kart, where you would compete with each other, I would connect to it, you would connect to it, and we'd both try to control the game and just cause it to smash into each other's.
Oh yeah, that would be fun, right? Just to see if I could prevent the story from continuing if you're trying to move it along, right?
Yes.
Very cool. Oh, this is super. I'm just kind of looking through it. I'll have to watch the whole video its entirety.
You should. And it's
Watch the whole video.
There's plenty of German in there for you, so you should enjoy that.
Yeah, exactly. I was excited about that. There's like lots of German, even though all the source code and structure and everything like that is in the right language. All right, so very last one. And this one, I'm not sure who had this article, but in our love for electric vehicles, seems like we got to talk about this for sure. Dodge, which is one of the larger car manufacturers or a brand, sub-brand in the United States, is going to be phasing out two important vehicles to them, Charger and Challenger, in order to have room for electric vehicles into the future.
So does this mean that if you like gasoline vehicles, then you need to get out of Dodge?
You need to charge down to your dealership and pick up it's a challenge to get a new gas car.
you have to dodge the EV bullet, perhaps, by picking up a dodge now.
I still can't believe that joke landed at all. But okay, there we go. That just goes to show how humor-deprived we are.
Do you know how to get Pikachu on a bus?
Yeah, no, I don't understand that at all.
No. Pokemon. Okay, I had to say it, right? We had this in the show, the pre-show, and we forgot to hit record. It was so good.
I probably ruined the joke. We're thankful that you managed to listen to the entirety of this and deal with all of us, and we're very grateful for all these fun stories and games to play with you, our audience, and with our families and with all of our friends. And we hope that you'll be thankful enough to come back again next week around about this time for your next edition of gamesatwork.biz.
Enjoy. See ya.
Bye. You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming, technology, and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.